Okay, here goes the abbreviated weekly Mashiach class. We are in the middle of the 11th chapter in Rambam. And as we learned 2 weeks ago, that Rambam brings three sources in the Torah from where there is a remez, there is an allusion to the coming of Mashiach. And we were learning the reason behind that. Why did Hashem find it important to allude to Mashiach, not once, not twice, but three times? And the Rebbe shares a phenomenal insight. Each time that the Torah is alluding to Mashiach, that part of the Torah really falls into a different category. And what categories are we referring to? There is the category of Torah, there is the category of Mitzvah, and there is a category of Nevuah. Obviously, all three of them are in the Torah, but each one has something unique that the other one doesn't have. And all of that leads us to the absolute certainty that Mashiach will come. So first explaining Torah, Mitzvah, Nevuah. Torah is something that Hashem brought into being way before the world went into being. Torah is beyond outer worldly. And therefore, even though God, in His kindness, gave the Torah as a gift to the Jewish people, the Torah is not of this world. This also is the explanation why one of our principles of faith is that the Torah will never change. Because something that doesn't come from the world cannot be bound, not by time, nor by space. Torah is an absolute. That's the greatness of Torah. What's the uniqueness of a mitzvah? Even though Torah will never change, Torah is from out of this world, beyond time and space, but not every part of Torah needs to materialize itself physically. There are actually many parts of the Torah that are like the mystical part of the Torah. They're not dealing b'chol with the physical world. However, mitzvahs, the whole point of a mitzvah is that there is a certain action, at least vast majority are actions, that we, when we live physically in the physical world, that we need to do or not to do. Mitzvahs are connected to behaviors that are of the world. So Torah doesn't have to materialize itself. A mitzvah, by default, is something that needs to happen physically. Now, Nevuah is a whole different parsha. What do I mean by that? So we were mentioning, it's good to know that we have what we call Tanakh. Torah, Nevi'im, Kesuvim. They are all given by God. They were all given by God, not directly to every Jew, but through prophets. Torah was given through Moshe. The Nevi'im were given through the Nevi'im. And the Kesuvim were given through the Nevi'im. What makes one on a different level than the other? It has to do with what state was the person in when they received that divine information, that divine lightening. If a person, now we're going on the lowest level to the highest level, has what we call divine inspiration, Ruach HaKodesh, and when they were divinely inspired, they intuited some knowledge, information, godliness, and they put it into writing, we call that Ksuvim, like Tehillim, like Megillas Esther. When you have a person who, while he or she received this divine insight, they completely lost their senses, which is what happens to a prophet. When a prophet is being communicated to by Hashem, they drop to the ground, they mamash lose their senses. They don't belong in this world anymore. They have no idea of what's happening around them. They enter a whole different mental state. Then when they come to themselves and they put it on paper, we call that Nevi'im. That's a Nevuah. And Torah is much greater than Ksuvim, much greater than Nevuah, even though when God spoke to Moshe, he did not lose his senses, but Torah Take is on the highest level. Now, when you contrast Torah and Nevuah, it's interesting that one is different than the other. Yeah, Torah is coming from a much higher place, but Dafka, because the fact that Torah is coming from a much higher place, if someone, God forbid, temporarily does not keep the Torah, we're not always liable to a death penalty. Yeah. For violating Shabbos, then a person is liable to a death penalty. But if a person misses the tefillah, then when the temple stood, they would bring a carbon oila. But there's no, other than that, there's no punishment even. when it comes to Nevuah, dafka because Nevuah is on a lower level, but Nevuah is not outer worldly. And Nevuah is something that God gives dafka to a specific person, connected to that which is happening in the world. It's very much of the world. It's connected to a time and place. And most prophecies were not even recorded because they were only given for one time, or even only at that one time for one location. And therefore they were not recorded in Tanakh, because it's not something for you or for me living in Tav Shem Peh. So Nevuah on one hand is very much of the world, but on the other hand, dafka, because it's of the world, it is from this lower level, it's speaking to time and space. When God gives a Nevuah, you have to keep it. It's that powerful, and if we don't keep it, we chayev misa. So the Rebbe writes beautifully that on one hand, some people think that there has to be certain conditions in order for Mashiach to come, which can lead for a person to erroneously say, well, if those conditions are never met, then Mashiach will never come. That's why God, in one of the three places, places the remez of Mashiach in the Torah. Torah is something that is forever. It's not bound by time and place. It is indeed eternal. So therefore, it's clear that Mashiach will happen. That's Aleph. Now, on the other hand, you can think, even if you know that it's written in the Torah, it might happen, but on some mystical level, on some spiritual level. Who says it's going to happen? Begashmias. That there's actually going to be a human being that will do everything that we mentioned. For that, God also hinted to the coming of Mashiach in the mitzvah part of the Torah, connected to the mitzvahs of the cities of refuge. Like we said, that there are ultimately going to be 9 cities of refuge. It's a mitzvah connected to the Messianic era, but God, dafka, connects it to a mitzvah to make it clear that not only will Moshiach happen on some spiritual level, that it has to happen on the physical level. Now, both Torah and mitzvahs, like we mentioned, if I violate them, then I won't always be violating the most serious thing. There will be place for tshuva. If I violate the words of a prophet, then I'm liable to the death penalty. So that's why that Mashiach is also alluded to in the part of the Torah that's Nevuah. And what part is that? In the parsha of Bilam and Balak. To let us know, like the Rambam mentioned, that if a person doesn't believe in Mashiach, then they're kaifer, they are a heretic, they are denying everything in the Nevuah and in the Torah. This brings in a whole new level of seriousness and the importance in the belief and in the anticipation of the coming of Mashiach. Now, why is the portion of Bilam called Nevuah? Every part of Torah is Nevuah, but we said no, it's from a much higher level. And the answer is that Bilam and Balak is the only portion of the Torah that was given to Moshe exclusively only through Nevuah. Every other part of the Torah, from the giving of the Torah, from Parshas Yisro, Moshe Rabbeinu knew about it, not because God gave him a prophecy, because he was part of the story. It's like when Mashiach is going to come, and we're probably going to record everything that happened in this transition period, that there was a corona, and this happened, and that happened. When we're going to read those writings, now it's going to be written by a Navi. It's going to be written by someone that's tremendously divinely inspired, but they won't be speaking Chinese to us. We'll understand what they're talking about because we're living through it. You know, maybe we would have used different words, but we're gonna say exactly, we're gonna read these stories, and we're gonna, that's exactly what happened. The only part of the whole Chumash that no one had any inkling about was the whole Parsha of Balak, or what the Rambam calls the Parsha of Bilam, because we did not have a spy that was embedded in the camp of Balak to even know that he was afraid that we're going to wage war against him, and he decided to hire this magician who was planning to curse us, and with all the details, not the details we knew about, not the general picture we knew about, we knew nothing. It was all given through prophecy. And the God chose as the third place, dafke in the prophecy of Bilam and of Balak, to give a remez about Mashiach, to give it the power and the importance of a prophecy, as well as we mentioned, to make the point that if someone will, God forbid, deny the coming of Mashiach, that's to a certain degree a much graver violation than denying in the Torah. So whichever angle you look at it, it is that important. It's that important not only the belief in Mashiach, but the anticipation in the imminence of the coming of Mashiach, the eagerly awaiting of Mashiach, because we were commanded in that from the Torah, connected to the mitzvahs, and connected to the prophecies. And like the Rebbe always emphasized, that Hashem should help all of us, that we should strengthen our emunah, not only in the eventuality of there's going to be a king, and he's going to restore the Davidic monarchy, and he's going to build a temple, and he's going to gather the Yidden in, and we're going to end up keeping all the mitzvahs. Not only the belief in that, but as the Rebbe Mamash Turim, that we should be machazik each other, that we should have a eager anticipation for Mashiach. And not to be worried that, oh yeah, I already anticipated Mashiach and I got burnt. So we got to learn how to, we have the greatest role model, the Rebbe. What, the Rebbe didn't get disappointed, he got broken. And the next morning he gets up there and he does it all over again. Because this is what God wants from us. And with the additional knowledge that our eagerly anticipating brings Mashiach through the door one moment quicker. Truth be told, he's late, but even late, still, it's not, since he's late, God forbid, then forget about it. Chas v'shalom. Since he's late, it's even more urgent. And we're living in a world that there are so many amazing things happening, and we should see that. And at the same time, there are so many new challenges, and we should feel the pain of so many, and that will help us to, with greater passion, to eagerly anticipate and to express that both in our davenings and to express that in our mitzvahs, like the Rebbe asked of us so strongly, that when a Yid does a mitzvah, right? So there's nothing wrong with a Jew saying, I'm giving tzedakah in order for so-and-so to have it a for shalema. Or I'm doing a mitzvah, le'ilui nishmas, right? We're dedicating this class, le'ilui nishmas Menashe ben Solomon Salim. It's so the Rebbe says, when you do a mitzvah, say, I'm doing this mitzvah in the schuz that Mashiach should come a moment quicker. That living with that anticipation, doing things with the knowledge that every mitzvah that I do, in the eyes of God, it's all big. You know, for me, maybe this is big, that's little. For Hashem, it's all the same, and all the same great. That our efforts indeed will be that which is needed to finally bring Mashiach into the door, and we will witness that will be that moment of His coming. How great will that be? And He's going to restore the Malchus of David HaMelech, and we're going to witness, my friends, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and there's going to be an ingathering of the exiles. However that will play out, we will find out. And finally, from when God created the world already 5,780 years ago, for the first time, all of the Jewish people will be able to, and we will de facto keep all of the mitzvahs, which is exactly the purpose for which God created the world, and that's the purpose for which God created you and me.